You're listening to a podcast series from Vietcetera Production.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to MAD Podcast. MAD stands for Marketing, Art, and Design. Every show, we invite a thought leader in the creative industry to discuss various topics that are submitted to us by the community, young professionals, and business leaders. I'm your host, Tuan. I'm the creative director and co-founder of The Lab Saigon, a design studio. I'm also a small business owner. I'm blessed to be on both sides of the table, and hopefully I can act as a bridge to facilitate the conversation. In today's episode of MAD, we speak with Elke Schuller, a Belgian-born art director, graphic designer, and photographer whose work has taken her to Beijing, Saigon, and now New York. She has worked as a senior designer at 2x4, a photography director for Vogue Film China, with works for Prada and Adidas under her belt. Her photography has been featured in publications such as The Washington Post. What lessons has she learned from her diverse cultural experiences and journey?
Hi, welcome to the show. Welcome to another episode of MAD. This is our fifth remote episode. Every episode, I wish this is the last remote episode so we can go back to the city, but fingers crossed. Today we have with us Elke Schuller. She's a designer turned photographer. But before I get into her her story and why she's here, I'm gonna let her introduce herself first. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi, Tuan. Thank you so much for having me today. Really excited about getting to know you and to talk about my experience. So about myself, I am a trained graphic designer. I was trained in Brussels. And then shortly after graduation, I moved to China to start a journey there as an art director and graphic designer. So most of my time in Beijing, I was a creative director of a design firm, which also allowed me to work on photo projects simultaneously. But then eventually, after 6 years, my journey came to an end, mostly because of COVID. And then I moved to Vietnam. In Vietnam, I worked short-term as a designer. And then I had to head back home, which is Brussels for me, just because of a family emergency. But yeah, that's me about my time in Beijing and then shortly in Vietnam.
That's cool. So when I first heard about your story, I thought it would be very beneficial to our listeners for two main points. One is that you had extensive experience in China, and that is, I would say, working abroad is one of those things that are on a lot of Vietnamese designers' mind. Like, you know, they're studying in Vietnam, but they want to work in Singapore, they want to work in China, they want to work in New York. So having that experience, I think that you can share a lot of that with them. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that I know recently you've switched from being a designer to also a photographer. So I thought that career change could be a nice story for people who are looking to make a career change. So let's start with China. Why China after Brussels?
When I was 20 years old, I traveled to China for about 6 weeks by myself. And I was mainly there to just get to know the country and to start a photo project. And I was really fascinated by the city and by the smaller places that I was visiting. I was mostly not in a big city, Shanghai, or Beijing. I was traveling in the south. I think it was the sense of anticipation and growth that really struck me. Even in smaller places, I thought the contrast between, I think, local life and in the big city was really fascinating. Eventually, as a photographer, while I was working as a creative partner at the studio, I looked into how economic growth has an impact on landscapes and people. So eventually what I was doing when I was 20 already had an impact on what I would be doing when I was between 25 and 30. So this is how I started in Beijing. And when I was moving there, I had no idea I would stay for 6 years. But I did know when I was studying graphic design in Brussels that I wasn't necessarily interested in working in an environment that I already knew. Which is, in that case, North Europe. I worked for a while in the Netherlands, but then almost immediately after 3 months, moved to Beijing to start my journey there. And I think for me as a designer, the most fascinating or most interesting aspect about being a designer is that you enter a new culture and you try to respond on local needs. We try to understand and learn the language, the food issues. And so I think that aspect for me as a designer was more interesting than other aspects. So I can only really encourage people to go abroad and, I don't know, to take a deep dive into a new culture, because I think as a designer, learning what another culture is about is really interesting and it's very important for the type of work that we're doing.
Yeah. Did you have to learn Mandarin before you settled in China?
Because I moved when I just graduated, I didn't study the language. However, when I arrived, I noticed that the level of English, specifically in Beijing, is at the time was still quite limited. So I had to study, and I was very dedicated and also really loved to study Chinese. Yeah. I think the characters are fascinating. It looks beautiful. And it took me about, I think, 2 years to understand the basics, and then another year and a half to be able to design characters. I think there's a big difference between actually designing a character. So Hanzi is the Chinese name of a character versus designing layouts. Yeah. I think designing characters is extremely difficult, takes a lot of dedication, many years. And I think working in China really taught me to understand my own limitations. Mm. So going to Vietnam, I understood that working as a foreigner in a new country takes time. And because I understood my limitations, also when I started working in Vietnam, I was immediately looking to collaborate with local designers, just because it would take time for me to study the language and, you know, to know the how diacritics work.
Yeah. Do you think it's a function of economic growth, as in Beijing is, you know, years ahead of us? That is why it's much faster, more competitive, and also bigger? Or is it a function of just China as a culture, that they're just faster people? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's part of culture. I think it's really hard to answer. I think when we want to answer questions, we should also always look at history.
Yeah,
I think the history of China is very special. You know, something that immediately pops up is the Cultural Revolution. Yeah. So obviously that influences people and their minds and hearts, and not wanting to miss out is still part of people thinking, I think, therefore, but also because there's just opportunity. I think since the 80s, when the country was opening up, people had opportunity to start opening business, actually make money and, you know, improve life. I think we still share the same mentality today. For the younger generation, that's Generation Z, that might be different. You know, they're born in a more comfortable situation. And I think there is lately a movement where people want to take it slower. So I think in my generation, we still have the mindset of people that were born in the 80s. We're, you know, big hustlers, and we want to create opportunity for ourselves.
Mm. Yeah. There's a phrase, right, for people who want to take it easy in China. What is it called? There's like a...
Yeah, it's like something about laying down.
Yeah.
I forgot.
But I wish I had that.
You just lay down.
Yeah, I wish I had that. That would have been good. So I've seen Saigon compared to, say, Bangkok, right? They say like we're 10 years behind Bangkok or 15 years or whatever, or we're going to surpass Singapore in 20 years or whatever. What is Saigon's relations to a city in China? Like how are we compared to them in terms of growth, economic growth, let's say?
There are many similarities. And because I worked in China for about 6 years and then moved to Vietnam, I could see patterns that I've experienced before in Beijing. I think I can better answer this question when I talk about my own experience as a designer versus just like looking at the economy.
Yeah.
Something really interesting I can share is that when I was working in my studio, a lot of our clients were sometimes limited by government decisions. An example of that is because of the way China functions. If the government has a shortage of money, they will not allow banks to give out loans anymore. So that has an immediate impact for some of our clients, which is that they have to postpone starting their business. They cannot apply for a business license, or they just don't have the start capital to start their business. That also has an immediate impact on my company, which is that clients are postponing projects. But definitely, yeah, late 2019, I was feeling a lot in my revenue and in the studio, and it was scary and challenging.
Yeah.
Because I could feel how government regulations had just an immediate impact on my studio. I think another interesting experience I can share is that when I was working on an NBA project, it was at the time when the leader of NBA basketball team, Houston Rockets, expressed his opinion on the Hong Kong movement.
Yeah.
And this wasn't appreciated by, the central government. And eventually, the project I was working on was on hold. It was in question if NBA could still continue to exist in China. That would be devastating for NBA because their IP is huge in China. Eventually, I think he did apologize. I think it happened on Twitter, and then eventually the project did resume, but it was on hold for a long time. And just not knowing, and not the first time that we're basically being confronted with regulations there, where we have to wait for projects to resume, is I think one of the main factors also eventually why I couldn't see myself having a very stable future in China as a creative.
Yeah, I think after that NBA debacle, they canceled like the Houston's game, like the same night or something, or the next night or something.
Yeah, I think it was in Shanghai, yeah.
Yeah, so that is pretty crazy. And you don't see that in Saigon, right? So Let's talk about Saigon a little bit. Like I'm assuming at that time you were, in China, and you're seeing this country to the south, like kind of getting a lot of attention, it's growing. Do you get the sense that you are missing out on something and that's why you moved to Saigon? Or what was the impetus to move to Saigon?
I think because the economy was changing in China and it was slowing down, I wanted to create an international client base for the studio. And so I was traveling to Europe. I wanted to make a connection between the studio and Europe. But then I think because of COVID, my partner was stuck abroad, and then also because of the political climate was changing, I was looking forward and had several options. I was looking at maybe Japan or Korea or Vietnam, and eventually I decided on Vietnam. Prior to deciding my next move, I visited Saigon previously, and just to get a sense of the city, what is the city like? What are the people like? What's the feeling? What is the place of graphic design in society? What type of creative studios are already existing? Even just looking at creative businesses started by women or by expats versus local people. Yeah, I got a sense of Vietnam and spent 2-3 weeks in Saigon just exploring before I head back to Beijing. And then I think after the pandemic hit, I decided to step out of the studio and then prepared my move to Vietnam.
What was the deciding factor between you choosing to come to Saigon versus Korea and Japan, which are awesome places?
I talked to many people, mostly creatives that are working in the industry in Japan and Korea, talking to local people, but also expats. I think the reason why is that Saigon looks outwards. They welcome, I think, foreign talent. That's something very exciting. Beijing is more closed. Also, I had a great experience, and I'm very grateful and learned so much having a studio in Beijing. But I think that approach and just the attitude towards you know, what's happening in the rest of the world is really exciting. I can also see that, you know, globally, I think restaurant platforms, design platforms are really interested in looking at the East and what's happening there design-wise. So I wanted to continue to be a part of a culture in Asia that was exploring new ways of graphic design. It's not just reproducing what people do in the West, which for a very long time and still is, you know, leading the conversation. And I think for me, that was the main reason also why eventually I wanted to leave Europe. Something I also want to mention is that in Beijing, I didn't want to sell European design. And that's still something I feel very strongly about. Moving to Beijing, I was the only European in my country, in my studio. and the only European in my studio.
Yeah.
My business partner was Hong Kong Canadian, and then the designers are Chinese. So I had to really adjust, and I had to speak the language. In the studio, we spoke mostly Chinese. By being in such a challenging environment, you learn a lot. And I think I just wanted to continue that journey by moving to Vietnam to be part of a scene that has a different background and but also is open to, you know, what's happening globally. And I think it's really exciting, you know, what's happening in Saigon, even if it's at a smaller scale, maybe compared to Beijing. I think it's exciting that people are studying abroad, they come back, bring, you know, their like baggage with knowledge back to Saigon, work with locals maybe who didn't study abroad, work with expats who bring their personal experience with them. So I thought that was very interesting. I think maybe for more senior designers that would ever want to move to Saigon, might be interesting to know more about that there was a big difference in, I guess, learning curves. This is something I experienced as working as part of RICE in Saigon.
It's hard to talk to junior Vietnamese designer, right?
It's not necessarily hard to talk. I think there needs to be someone in the studio that takes on the role of an educator. And I think as a senior designer, there's already so many responsibilities. You are leading projects. And so I think working together with a junior designer should be viewed as helping someone else to get to know the industry and just know the steps and all the design methods. And so I think in school, you don't get to learn that necessarily. I think education versus actually starting your career and designing your first project is very different. Just to give a simple example, when we're doing research, whether it's before or after the strategy phase, when we're making mood boards can have so many purposes. And I think mood boards can be complex. I think I've noticed by working with junior designers that there should be just made time to explain what's the purpose of a mood board for this particular project. And I think that was one of the main challenges, not only in Saigon, but also in Beijing. How do you make time to train people? And whose job is it to train people? Should we question our education? Should we question design firms? Should we question the pace? You know, what's the ratio between senior designers and junior designers? I think that was actually one of the biggest challenges.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I have the same issue at the lab actually, with training that maybe they didn't get in school here. Yeah, but you know the difference, I guess, is I'm okay with it, and it's a challenge, but it's fun for me to work with the kids because I learn a lot too. They actually train me on a lot of the tech, a lot of the slangs, a lot of the tastes that young people are into that I would have not gotten without them. So I take it as a two-way street
I think my experience was different. I think as a starting designer, I had to learn it myself. I had to teach myself what is design thinking, what are the methods that you can apply to do research. And so I think because I learned everything myself and I really had an attitude, don't ask anyone else if you can find the answer yourself. I tend to expect of people to have an attitude that they, you know, might just go online and learn about it. But yeah, you have a responsibility if you hire someone and definitely also as a senior person. How you organize a design firm and you know, respect people's time and I think also energy is an interesting dialogue and definitely something important.
Yeah. So you left because of family issues. Would you ever consider going back to China or Vietnam?
Yes. When I had to leave East and Southeast Asia, I was definitely very emotional because I've been living in Asia since I'm 24, 25, 31 now.
You didn't have to say that.
So yeah, I will definitely return. Also, I started a project as a photographer in Vietnam where I was exploring new ways for, I think, humanity to live on planet Earth. So I was looking at labor in relationship to economic growth, specifically because Saigon is moving so quickly. There was also the new subsidy that was official to Duc since January 1st. So I was looking at the impact again on people and landscapes. Because of a fast urbanizing Saigon. So because I started this project, I would love to, you know, go back, hopefully when COVID is not controlling our lives anymore. So specifically for that reason, I would love to return to, as a photographer, to explore, I think, issues that are connected to people and fast urbanization.
Yeah. We know from your story that you came to Beijing with a camera, but you weren't a professional photographer back then, right? And you're segueing into photography now. Do you think it's ever too late to change your career or not?
I've always had an interest in both photography and graphic design. And it's only by, I think, asking myself, questions that I decided to switch careers. Questions I asked myself is, I think once you reach 30s, you have had some work experience and you're at a stage where you reflect if you still like the work that you're doing. And mostly, what's the goal or what do you want to leave behind, I guess, in this world as someone that is a creative person?
Yeah.
Specifically graphic design. When I was studying, I always had the idea that graphic design could be a way to express, but actually branding is very different and definitely serves people, serves companies, institutions. And there is often also a hidden agenda, which is just to sell products.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know if I can add value by continue to create new products. I think it's really exciting to work with local people and help them elevate their businesses, get to know their stories. I like that side. So again, it's about looking, I think, at just like a more humanitarian side of working. And eventually I thought that as a creative, I am more drawn now towards exploring new cultures, but as a photographer. The reason for why is because I really enjoy just being outside of the studio. You get to travel, you get to know people. And definitely photography just tends to look at issues. So you end up in, you know, remote places, people that are in a conflicting situation. And you as a photographer actually have a really powerful tool to document what's happening and help people to tell their story. In a way, design is doing the same thing, but the purpose and the goal is very different. Also, when I was living in Beijing and I was walking home from at night from my studio back to my apartment, I often saw blue-collar workers eating manto, which is some kind of bun. And it struck me. I wondered why, you know, sitting at 10 a.m. still in blue-collar clothing wear, working, and it did something with me. And I think I just started to ask bigger questions. And when I moved to Saigon, I was seeing similar situations. So I think for me, Saigon made sense to move to, just because the stories I was interested in Beijing are also existing in Saigon.
Yeah.
Just an example of that is in Beijing, you have ghost cities, and these are constructed by often migrant workers. So I was often following families for half a year to a year and just document their life. And I was planning to do the same in Saigon. I was actually living in D2 like many foreigners do.
Yeah, you expat.
But I was actually living in Tuduk because I wanted to document the change.
Yeah.
And while I was in Saigon, I got to know a local group of photographers. And I was going out with them, explore the new subsidy. And it was really interesting to see, you know, newly built apartment buildings in contrast with, you know, open lands just of green grass.
Yeah, I agree with you. Right. Like, I agree how that image of, you know, blue collar workers working late into the night building, you know, fancy buildings that maybe nobody would ever live in, but some investors would buy. So I agree with that sentiment totally. But I want to offer an alternative view just to get a discussion going.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up in the late 80s in Vietnam, in Da Nang. Mm-hmm. And so my dad and I, like, we would have to bike maybe a couple of hours to the countryside and the city just to trade rice, right? Now, was that better? Or a job at a factory nowadays would have been better? It's hard to say. That blue-collar worker, is he better off at his countryside farming? Or is he better off now, you know, making money, sending back money home or whatever? What do you think?
I don't think one is necessarily better than the other one. I think from around the Mekong Delta move to the north to go work in factories because there is no choice. Actually, when I was talking to people, I was following a family from the Mekong Delta that made the move, and was following a man that traveled by himself to one of the factories up north. And I asked him what was so far the most memorable moment he had in his life, just because he decided to stop working as a fisherman and go work in a factory. And he said, well, I was able to buy the biggest television of my village. And so now neighbors are jealous. I think it's really wonderful. And I was actually planning to go photograph his family watching television. And so people make sacrifices. I don't think one situation is better than the other one, but I can see sacrifice, and it definitely touches me. And I can also see that he feels satisfied to know that he's helping out his family. And I think these are the stories that I'm mostly drawn to. It's a human side of urbanization, and eventually I think more and more people will move to the bigger cities. So let's find out what these stories are and what is the motivation for people.
I see. So your project is not necessarily saying don't move to the city, but it's more like, okay, who's moving to the city? Why? What are their stories, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. So what's the next country for you? I mean, I know you're traveling around, but what's next?
I am joining ICP, International Center of Photography in New York, for 1 year. It's a program that focuses on visual journalism and investigations. So I will be focusing this year on photography. I'm actually still working as a graphic designer, mostly for clients in Beijing. And I still really enjoy to do so. But yeah, the next year I will be enjoying my time in New York and hopefully also get to know more of the country. I actually just traveled to the Southwest and was so amazed by the scenery and spent a week on the reservation of Native Americans. And yeah. I was really happy to just explore a new country. Actually, yeah, basically doing the same thing as I've been doing before.
Mm-hmm. Is this your first time in America?
Not my first time. It's the first time I'm here for longer than 2 weeks. So I was here for 3 months. Soon my visa expires, so I have to head to Belgium. But yeah, I was here mainly to research the country because I will be based here for a year as a photographer. So I thought I might as well just use my time and explore. I usually just travel by myself. I rent a car and whenever I see people I would like to talk to because they are connected to a story that I'm researching, I'll just hop out and chat with them. And the Americans are so talkative. It's really nice. As a North European, I'm so amazed. I love to talk to people here. They're very open.
Yeah.
And I think it's also because I'm a foreigner. They like to introduce me to their stories and their life. So yeah, I've been having a great time.
Can they tell that you're a foreigner right away?
Oh yeah, immediately. I mean, I have an accent, and so
what accent? No, I can hear your accent.
Yeah, I think they're very open to talk to a foreigner. Also, I think the political landscape in America is quite sensitive, and so because as a foreigner, I don't feel necessarily biased because I'm new here. I'm pretty neutral, and I think because people sense that, they're open to talk to me. So yeah, actually compared to working in Beijing, but also Vietnam, working as a photographer in the US is really easy.
Yeah, I'm kidding. This is a show about design. but I do like to hear, point of views outside of our industry because I just think it's super boring to talk design all the time, even if you're a designer. So before I let you go, is there anything that you want to, say to the audience, anything that I've missed that you want to talk about or touch on?
Well, I think you started in the beginning of your show, how to motivate, I think, young designers to go study abroad.
Yeah.
And
actually, I want them to stay in Vietnam, but I'm just saying a lot of them think about going abroad. So I wanted to bring that perspective. Yeah.
Mm. Do you know why they don't take a step to go work abroad?
Well, there are opportunities issue, right? A lot of them don't have the opportunities to go abroad, whether that's family or English skills or whatever it is. And the people who do have the opportunities, I think they're just unsure, right? Whether they'll have a better career there or a better career here. But I know a lot of them think about it, right? Yeah.
I think it's always good to think about how to differentiate yourself from someone else. Definitely the creative industry is also very competitive. There's so much talent around us. And I think working abroad helps you. You're exposed to a different work environment. So it helps you to differentiate yourself. You know, even if English is not your first language, it's also not mine. And the way I sound today wasn't the same as 6 years ago. So it's a process. And I think it's extremely valuable, not only because you can differentiate yourself from someone else, you will also develop as a person very fast. Definitely if you explore a new country by yourself, it is challenging. And only, I think real growth exists when you are exposed to, challenging environments.
Yeah, I totally
agree. Want to differentiate yourself and you want to have personal growth, go abroad. Yeah.
Now, let me amend what I wanted to say. I don't want to keep them here. I want them to go abroad and then come back. So I think that's better. Yeah.
Mm, why coming back?
Well, at the end of the day, I think creative services or design is a value that you bring to society, you know, whether on the surface level is making something look beautiful or making something compelling that you want more people to know about. So I want them to contribute that value here in Vietnam, a country that, you know, I love, rather than, you know, let's say some other country, like, you know, like Belgium, you know, who cares about Belgium? No, I'm kidding.
I'd love to have more Vietnamese designers in Belgium.
You love to have more people in Belgium, period. Yeah.
I'm just asking the question because I'm not sure if I will return to Belgium. I think I've gotten used to living abroad.
Yeah.
And so, I think once you are used to living overseas, there might be a big chance that you really enjoy it and you won't return anymore. Yeah.
True. Well, we'll let them decide that. Elka, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your valuable experiences. I personally learned a lot from your story. I hope the audience get a kick out of it too. Thank you for coming. I hope to see you again sometime in Vietnam.
Okay. Thank you, Tuan. It was really nice to chat with you.
Yeah. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another episode of MAD. If you want to suggest a topic or have any questions, please send through to mad@vietcetera.com. New episodes are out every 2 weeks. And don't forget to subscribe to our Spotify, podcast, and YouTube channels for more interesting content.